That's awesome.
Okay, we're learning Tanya, Igeres HaKodesh, the Holy Epistle, page Kufyud Gimel, which is equivalent to page 225, and if it's an English Tanya, that's the numbering system at the top of the page. And we're now on the second paragraph on the page, three lines from the bottom, beginning with the words V'kocha Mamash. Now, to bring us up to date with the chapter, so far we've been talking about the pasuk which says Zoreya Tzedakos Matzmiach Yeshuos, that he sows righteous acts and causes to grow salvation. So basically, it's quite a simple concept. The Alter Rebbe is explaining, using the mashal, the parable of the growth of a plant, or especially a tree, from a seed, whereby the act of planting a seed in the ground is he relates it to the concept of what's called Halas Man, which stands for Halas Maim Nukvin, which means, in other terms used in the Zohar, etc., Isarusa de la Tata, which means an awakening from below, meaning an action done by a Jew down below in this world directed towards God above. In other words, that we reach out towards God with our action. So that is comparable to a farmer, a gardener, putting a seed in the ground. Because that seed, it's a very small act, it's a very small seed. But it's an act, nevertheless, which focuses the energies which are there innately in the ground. The ground is described in Hasidic teachings, talk about the earth very much. It's a tremendously powerful parable and concept, because the earth has got within it infinite powers of growth. Whatever you put in the ground has got the, of course, if you do a scientific analysis, it means it's chemicals of various sorts, but it's enough to give the nutrients that the plant needs. Of course, we know it needs sunlight and water and all these things as well, but nevertheless, the seed won't grow if suspended in the air. It's got to be in the ground. So the ground is this idea of it being like an infinite source for all the requirements that a plant needs in order to grow into whatever it is. And the identity of the plant is determined by the nature of the seed, but doesn't relate directly to it, because you can have a very big seed that grows a small plant, you know, maybe an avocado pip, right, will grow an avocado tree, which isn't so big. Or you can have a very small seed, relatively, like an acorn, much smaller than an avocado pip, and that grows a massive oak tree. So the actual size of the seed itself doesn't actually bear any relation to the thing that's going to grow out of it. But the bottom line of it is this idea of investing a small amount of energy or action in the ground, in the case of the parable, or in terms of mitzvahs, Torah and mitzvahs, in terms of the avodah of the Jew, and that evokes a tremendous response in comparison. So what's the tremendous response in relation to a tree? That this little seed gave rise to a very big tree, and if it's a fruit tree, the little seed gives rise to many, many apples, let's say if it's an apple tree, and then each apple's got seeds, so each of these seeds can give rise to more trees, and it just goes, you know, it burgeons ad infinitum. So this one little act of putting a seed in the ground has got such, that's the word that's used in Hebrew, peiros. Peiros means fruits, it bears so many fruits. And the comparison is of the single small act that a Jew does bears tremendous spiritual fruit. Now he relates this in particular to the concept that before davening, the Gemara says that Rabbi Elazar, before he went to pray, Yoiv Pruta La'ani V'Hada Matzli, he first gave a coin to a poor man and then he went to pray. Why? Because that is the same idea. Giving the small act, the putting of the seed in the ground, the small act of charity, the giving of the penny to the poor man, it's not a tremendous amount, it's just an act of kindness. That evokes a response from heaven a tremendous response of God bestowing upon us a tremendous amount of kindness, disproportionate to what we've actually done. Just like the fruits from the tree are disproportionate to the amount that's in the seed. So therefore, in our davening in particular, it means that God, in his kindness, will rain down upon us tremendous spiritual energies. As a result of our davening, it means he'll open our mind to tremendous insights, to kavanos, which means intense, or, you know, mind processes, and so on. And in other words, the effectiveness of our davening, of our prayer, is tremendously effective when you compare it to the relatively small act of giving something to this poor man. So that's basically where we're up to so far in the chapter. So v'kacha mamish al derech moshul, so similarly, by way of a parable, kol ma'isa tzedakah shoyis yisrael oyle lemaila b'chinas halos man l'sharish nishmisein lemaila. So now, taking the analogy of the seed and the tree, and now applying it to the actual mitzvah tzedakah itself. So similarly, every act of charity of tzedakah that a Jew does, it goes up to the heavenly spheres in a way of halos man, which we said before, man is mayim nukvin, feminine waters, meaning an act down below, which evokes a tremendous response of mayim duchurim, the masculine waters above, to the source of their souls above, which is called Knesset Yisrael, the whole repository of all the Jewish souls, of the Jewish people. It's one unit. We all are sourced in one place. That source is called Knesset Yisrael, the gathering of the Jewish people. It means the gathering of all our souls together. V'im atatov b'lashayin hazoyah u'shchina b'lashon ha'gemara. There are different terminologies for this, of either imetato, which means the lower mother, and shchina, the divine presence, because the divine presence in the world is also very much associated with the totality of all the Jewish souls, because in other parts of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe identifies the Jewish soul with being a part of God, and the totality of the Jewish souls is comparable to, or even identifiable with, the Shechina, the divine presence. Hakalula mikol midaisa shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, which includes all the attributes of the Holy One, blessed be He, miyuchedes bahem, the Tachlis, and is absolutely unified with them, absolutely. V'reishisam hi midas hachesed. And the first of these attributes, after dealing with the intellectual attributes of Chochma Bina Das, but once we start dealing with the emotional attributes, the first one is chesed. Chesed Hashem mamish. And through this raising up, reaching up towards Hashem, our own small act of charity, then it awakens a tremendous kindness from God, which is a revelation of God's light, blessed be He, to come down and to shine down below to the souls of the Jewish people, in a revealed way, a tremendously revealed way, at the time of davening, I'll call upon him at least then. We hope that it should be even beyond that time as well, that would be inspired during the day also, when we're not actually in the middle of davening. That is a hope. We know that it's very difficult to continue the inspirations that we have during davening into our daily life once we finish davening. But it's a hope that we can expect could happen. Actually, gulosa in cheker, and even though God's greatness has no fathoming, we can't get to the bottom of God's greatness, adukula kamenka lo chashivi, till we say that the whole universe is reckoned as naught compared to God himself. So obviously, we cannot fathom the greatness of God's greatness, which is identified with his kindness. But in the place where you find God's greatness, there you also find his humility, like water that comes down from a high place to a low place. That's actually a Maimon Chazal, that we find that in the three places in the Torah and in the Nevi'im, in the Ksuvim, it's actually said, according to Nusrat Ashkenaz, it's said in V'yitan Lecha, which we say on Matzah Shabbos after Havdalah. So in the Nusach Ashkenaz version, there is this quote, which says that I think it's a Talmudic statement, that wherever It's written in the Chumash, and it's also repeated in the prophets, and for a third time in the scriptures, that's the Ksuvim, that where you find the greatness of God, there you find also his humility. And the quote from the Torah is, where it says that God is a great and fearful God, but is Ayev, Ger, he loves the stranger, Yosem, the Almana, and the orphan and the widow. In other words, he is very the greatest of the greatest kings, but he can be very busy also caring about the lowliest of the low, the lowest echelons of the society, people who are disenfranchised by society, so to speak. The Ger, the stranger, who isn't so welcome, and that we know that the widow and the orphan, of course, have a hard time, and God is concerned even with them. Not even that they're unworthy, but even in the sense that they are spurned by society. So we find God's greatness and his humility in the same place. So also, God's greatness is tremendously unfathomable, but he still wishes and wants to share it with us, and we're unworthy, but he's still willing to do that. But what sparks off, what kicks off that process, is our act. It has to come, something has to come from us. So we're the little switch, and it switches on a great process which comes down back to us in a much greater measure. This is another passage which says that he shines light into the darkness to the righteous ones. He is, God of course referring to him, is Chanun, he favors us, and Rachum, he is merciful to us, the tzaddik, and he is the righteous one. What he's explaining the text to mean, that through the individual Jew who will act in a way of Chanan v'Racham v'Tzadik, of being favoring another Jew or somebody unworthy or unable to fend for themselves, and we're merciful to them and we're righteous towards them, but tzedakas ahev, and the tzaddik loves righteousness. Garyam la'ir Hashem she'yizach le'nishmasai ham le'beshes begufay ha'ayme b'cheshach. He causes through that act, like we've been saying, that God should shine down into his soul, into the darkness of his soul, meaning that our soul is in darkness because it's enclosed in the physical body, so we're in a state of darkness. The soul itself, of course, is not dark, but it's in a state of darkness, so God, in his kindness, will shine down into the soul, inspiring it and giving godly light into the soul. Shumoshka dechivya, which is described as the skin of the snake. Yeah?
What's the difference between Chanun and Rachum?
So, through the fact that a person expresses himself in this way of mercy and favoring another, so Hashem responds in this very, very great way. Why is the soul in the state of darkness? Because Hamul Beshes Buguf, as we said before, Ha'ayme Bechayshesh Shumash Chodechivya. So because the soul is enclosed in the body, which is described as the skin of the snake, this is, a Zohar expression, so it gives this idea that the body is merely like a jacket which the soul is enclosed in. And it's really an alien thing. Just like our own jacket. It's not part of us. You need a jacket to keep you warm, or for, social reasons, or whatever. But it's not you. And, when you see somebody coming towards you, in the street, and you recognize them, it's not because you recognize the jacket. You recognize them, the face, or whatever, or the bodily movement. It's what's in the jacket that is the person. So the jacket gives this idea of being an external, necessary adjunct to the person. Because no one walks around without clothes. Everyone has clothes. We're not just talking about jackets, we're talking about any clothes.
Isn't there something that puts new clothes? Danny Kaye? No.
So, the same thing with the soul, the body and the soul, that analogy applies to the body and the soul. The soul is the real reality of the person, right? But the soul is enclosed in an alien jacket, and it's called the body. So that is this concept of Moshcha Dechivi. It's interesting that snakes actually shed their skin, don't they?
That's right.
Every year they shed their skin. It shows that it's an alien part of them. It can even be shed, and it doesn't affect the being itself. On the contrary, that's part of its development. And this is called by the word Yeshua, because we're now harping back to the original pasuk from which this chapter, with which this chapter began, Zareah Tzedakos Matzmiach Yeshuos. Yeah, the one that sows charitable acts will make grow Yeshua. So he's going back to that word Yeshua, which means salvations. So that, what is it referring to? It's referring to this downpouring from God, of godly light into the person as a result of the charitable act that he did. That's called Yeshua. When the darkness is changed over to light. That's a concept of Yeshua. Because the word Yeshua actually contains a root which means to turn. To turn. Ve'al Kayin ve'al milchasoi loy sho'o. When it, you remember the story of Cain and Hevel? So both of them brought sacrifices, the two sons of Adam, the first man. They both brought sacrifices. Hevel brought vegetables and so on, because he was a farmer. And Cain brought sheep. Is it that way around? No, it's the other way around. But Cain brought the best. Cain brought the best. And Hevel did not bring the best. So Hashem, it says, Hashem turned... No, it's the other way around. Hevel brought the best.
Yeah.
And Cain did not bring the best. So it says, Vel Cain, Vel Minchasai Loi Sho'a. To Cain and his offering, God did not Sho'a. Shin Ayin Hei. He didn't turn. So the word Yeshua is connected with that. It means a change of fortune, that we get helped. In this context, we're saying that Yeshua is saying that that is when the darkness is changed to light. Again, it's a change of direction, to turn, to change. That the darkness in which the soul is living inside the body is changed to light because God shines down on it with tremendous light.
Bring rotten vegetables in.
It says he didn't bring the best. He didn't bring the best. Yeah, Cain. She Yeshua Zaymut Saimeches Mizrias Hatzadokah. This salvation grows from the planting, which is using this analogy, which we've been using all the time, of planting a seed in the ground. It's called the sowing of the tzedakah. Shazorim ba'aretz alyona. So in what way? This charitable act, you give a coin in the charity box, that has caused a seed of spiritual energy to be sown in the eretz alyona, in the supernal land, which refers to the world of Atzilus even, the highest of the four spiritual worlds. Eretz Chefetz hi, Eretz Chefetz, which is also called the desirable land, which is again, it's always got dual meanings. It can either mean the physical land of Israel is called Eretz Chefetz. The Jewish people are called Eretz Chefetz. In the book of Yeshaya, God describes us as Eretz Chefetz, which the Baal Shem Tov stressed very much, that the Jewish people are comparable to a rich land full of mineral wealth. Yeah, and that's Eretz Chefetz, and he explained that a Jew, although superficially the Jew may look quite ordinary, just like when you look at the vast expanse of, you know, Arabian desert, it all looks very, you know, uninspiring to see this sand. Yeah. But if you know that under the sand there's a tremendous wealth of oil, yeah, you start to change your view of this piece of land. Yeah. It's an Eretz Chefetz. It's a desirable land. Might not be full of trees and grass, but it's got tremendous treasures there. The same thing said about Hashem about a Jew, that he doesn't look anything special from the outside, but he really is Eretz Chefetz. You only have to dig into a Jew and you find tremendous jewels and great spiritual
tremendous
wealth.
Jewels.
Jewels, right, yeah. So, the Eretz Elyona, which refers to the the world of Atzilus, is also called Eretz Chefetz. He has Shechina, Ukenetzis Yisrael, Shenikraas Kain. Again, before we talked about the repository of all the spiritual powers, which are the source of all the souls of the Jewish people, is called Shechina and Knesset Yisrael, and it's also in Atzilus. It's in Malchus Atzilus, actually the lowest level in the world of Atzilus. Shenikras Kein Al Shem Shemislabeshes Petachtoinim Lach Yosef. And it's called that. Why is it called Shechina? Because the word Shechina is connected to the word Lishkoin, which means to dwell. A shachain in Hebrew means a neighbor. In your shchuna is the area where you live. The word lishkan Shekhinah means why? Because it's the spirituality of God that is injected, and it's the indwelling of God's presence in the lower worlds to give them life. Shekhinah Kosov, Malchuscha, Malchus Kol Olamim, as it says in Ashrei, we say it three times a day, Malchuscha, your level of royalty is the royalty of all worlds. This refers to the level of Malchus in the spheres. And it's saying that your level of Malchus, which is Malchus Tatsilus first and foremost, which is the highest of the four spiritual worlds, and although it's the lowest level of this world, Malchus, it's still very, very high. But what is the aim of Malchus is to shine downwards. Malchus is like royalty in this world, that the king's whole aim is to rule the people, to be involved with the lower levels. And that's what the job of a king is. He might be very exalted, although modern day kings and queens aren't very exalted, but the ancient idea of a king is an exalted personage. That's the ideal. The Jewish king is supposed to be a highly spiritual person who is an intermediary between God and the people, but his whole sort of raison d'etre is to shine downwards towards the people. Hence also Malchus Tatsilus. The job of Malchus Tatsilus is to shine downwards into the lower worlds. So that's why it says Malchuscha, your level of Malchus in the world of Atsilus is Malchus Kol Olamim, is to shine down through all the worlds, and it comes down to the Malchus of the next world, and then the Malchus of the next world, till it comes right down to this, even this physical world, and encloses itself in this physical world, and actually meets the end of Malchus. Is actually Oretz HaTachtoina, is the physical birth of this world is Malchus. Now also this idea of going to the lowest level. So hence Shekhinah is called Shekhinah because of living and dwelling in the lowest of levels. Yeah.
How does the world of Keter fit into the order of four?
What is Keter? What is it?
Of Abia.
Keter is above all of these. It's totally above. It's a different order of magnitude.
Okay.
Those worlds that we talked about, of which Atsilus is the highest of the four. So it's Atsilus, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, known as Abiyai for short, for the initial letters. Those are all in what's called Seide Shtalshlus. They're all in the chain system of creation. And you can think, you know, it's explained, it's like a chain, so one sphere after the other. So starting in each world, you have the 10 spherot, Chochma, and the Bina and Das, which are the three intellectual spheres. And then you have the seven emotional spheres, starting with Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Chayyus, Yesod, Malchus. And that one way of analyzing it is in the way of a line, one single line in the form of a chain. There are other ways of analyzing it as well, but we won't go into that now. So then each world has got this chain from Chochmah down to Malchus, and then it starts the next world. The Malchus of the upper world feeds into the Chochmah of the lower world. And so it goes down into Bria, 10 spheres in Bria, 10 spheres in Yetzirah, 10 spheres in Asiya. Now that's called a chain system. Why? Because each level has got some comparability to the previous level. It's got some measurability to the previous level.
All were linked.
They're linked, right. That's the idea of a chain. There's a link. But when you talk about Keser is an order of magnitude higher, where the connection between these four worlds and Keser is incomparable. The jump is incomparable. There's no direct link. And Keser is associated with Seivev Kol Almin.
Right.
These four worlds are in the system which is called Mamale Kol Almin, which is the godly light that fills all the worlds. So it's related to the actual worlds in which they reside. But there's a higher level of godly light which is called Seivev Kol Almin, which surrounds all the worlds, not literally surrounding, but surrounding, as it explains in Tanya, it means that it's not able to be tapped or realized or revealed in the lower worlds. So therefore it's called Seivev, as if it's surrounding. So Keser is this level of godly light which surrounds all the worlds. And it's a different order of magnitude again. It's like a totally different system. So that's a very short resume of the relation of Keser with the other worlds. So, Befrat Minaprat, Kisazarim Be'etz HaKodesh HaTachtoina HaMechuvenes Kenegdo Mamash. And in particular, when you sow in this, in the land of Israel, which is called the Holy Land, in this lower world, in other words, the real land of Israel, which corresponds to the heavenly land of Israel, which is the holiest level in the higher worlds, the world of Atzilus. So that means giving charity to Eretz Yisrael, literally to give money to institutions which reside in the land of Israel, helping Jews living in Israel. And just by the way, this was one of the great merits which the Alter Rebbe, the first Rebbe, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, Nishmas Ha'eden, had, and he declared that he had, that saved him when he was accused, the Yutes Kislev story, when he was arrested by the Tsarist government on false accusations. What helped him to defend himself spiritually, that is, a spiritual defense, was his merit in sending money to Eretz Yisrael. Because as he points out over here, that when you give money to Eretz Yisrael, it's, as he says, Shazriya Nikletas take from Yad Be'eretz Al Yoina Belishum Mini of Ikov Ba'ilam, that the effect of giving tzedakah to Eretz Yisrael, the effect of it goes straight up. You know, you don't need to go through any protocols and any systems and any application forms to get, you know, your act noted and put down in the files. It goes straight up and it's ticked off. Oh, this Jew has given money to support Eretz Yisrael. It's a direct link to the heavenly spheres, and you get your merit straight away without any further ado, so to speak. Because there's nothing that will divide off, will sort of create a barrier between the lower world, the lower Eretz Yisrael, the land of the living, referring to Eretz Yisrael in this world, and the Eretz Yisrael, which refers to the highest of the four worlds, Atzilus. There's no barrier between them. Eretz Yisrael's got a direct connection with the highest of the four worlds. Yeah, Kizeh Shah Shemayim, because Eretz Yisrael is called the gateway of heaven. It goes straight up. There's no protocols. Mashain came Mechutz La'aretz, which is not true when we are in outside Israel. Chutzah La'aretz, it means outside the land of Israel. Vadal, which means Vadal Lemavin, this should be sufficient for those that understand. You know, it says that before a shear, we finished the chapter, by the way, we're on page 226, just before chapter 9, but you know, they say that before you start a shear, you should say a joke to get people in the right mood. So,
Way it's different.
So I'll tell you a joke to get people in the right mood for the next year, along the lines of what we've just been talking about, of how the land of Israel is directly connected with the heavenly spheres. The story is told that, of course it's all a joke, that one of the presidents came to visit Menachem Begin in Israel. So this is Oliver Sholem. Menachem Begin was actually quite a frum man, and you know, a great believer. So one of the, president, Carter, Bush, I don't know, Ford, doesn't matter which president. Anyway, they came, let's call it President Ford, comes to visit, goes to visit to Israel, and he comes to visit Mr. Begin in his office.
Carter, I think.
So he comes in the office. He has to sit down, have a cup of tea, you know, usual pleasantries between two people. And then the president's looking around, and he sees on Mr. Begin's desk is a colored phone, different color to all phone, normal phones are white.
Me that one.
And this one is a special color, let's say a red phone. So he says, Mr. Begin, well, what's that phone? So he says, that phone. Yeah, that phone is a direct line to God. A direct line to God? Wow! He says, do you think I could make a call? He said, yeah, but it doesn't come cheap. So he says, well, how much will it be? He says, American president, you know, you can afford a big amount. It's $10,000 a minute. $10,000 a minute? What kind of... He says, look, you're talking to God, you know, this is big stuff. So he says, $10,000, all right, well, I'll pay, I'll have a minute's call. Gives him $10,000, dials, and speaks. Oh, he's on the line to God. And he has a minute's conversation with God. Puts down the phone, his face is glowing. Then he says to Mr. Bacon, do you use this often? He said, well, I need to, and I need to speak to God, so I use the phone. He said, well, tell me, how much does it cost you for a call? He said, 10p. 10p for a call? You just charged me $10,000. I said, but for us, it's just a local call.